Good evening, church. Happy Mother's Day. Yay. And I heard this church and a lot of other churches, typically they will have a mother preach on Mother's Day, right? So just to be clear, I'm not a mom, not yet. So if you have a gift of intercession on your life, please pray for me to be a mom, but a wife first, then a mom. We cannot be a mom first, right? And so if all of you intercede for us single people to get married and have babies, and all single people say amen. Man, and all the parents who want the children to get married say amen. You know, I was just thinking about that, you know, a few years ago, my parents would be praying for me to get a husband, and they would have very specific prayer, you know, like, Pearly, you will marry a Malaysian Chinese guy who's rich, who's godly, and this and that, this and that. I think, but this year, they're like, forget it, you know, God, just pick a godly man for her, you know, because the years are passing by, so their prayers are shortened, you know. And I love Mother's Day, and I do know for some people, Mother's Day could be a very happy day, right? Because you're a mom, you have children, you feel like you're a good mom, your children loves you. I want to shout out to one of my favorite moms in the house, which is Joanne. Where is Joanne, Ethan's wife? Man, Joanne, every time I see Joanne, oh, Joanne's not here. Her kids are here, her family is here. But Joanne is like a super mom, right? To me, every time I see her, I'm like, hey, Joanne, I have a special shout out for you because you're like a super mom. I want to grow up to be like you. And she deserves 4 Mother's Day in a year, amen? Okay, so for some people, Mother's Day is a happy day. For some people, maybe, you know, Mother's Day might trigger a different emotion because for some moms, they feel like they're not appreciated by their family. Maybe they feel like you didn't do a good job as a mom. And I want to be sensitive to people. Some women have been trying to be a mom, but can't, you know, and they had miscarriages. So when they hear Mother's Day, they feel really sad. So I want to be sensitive to everyone. But for me, when I think about Mother's Day and during this day, it will trigger a very bittersweet feeling. Because like most of you know, I lost my mom when I was 17. And she passed away suddenly. And so I remember the first Mother's Day that I experienced without my mom. I went to a different church. I went to a church where nobody knew me and I didn't know anyone. I sat behind and I just cried. Because it was the first time as an 18-year-old person, I did not have a mom to celebrate Mother's Day with. And to add things to, you know, things get a bit more complicated. 9 months after my mom passed away, I received a call from my friend, and they're like, Pearly, where are you? I'm like, I'm at home. Why? He's like, actually, we're at Bukit Tinggi, and we see your dad, like, dating another woman. I was like, what? You know, like 9 months after my mom passed away, you know. So my dad came back. I was like, this is an awkward situation. You know, I feel like I caught a teenager dating, right? So I was like, dad, you went out? And he was like, yeah, I went out. Then, okay. You know, so he pretended he didn't know. I pretended I didn't know. But anyway, 9 months later, my dad started dating again. And I would say 6 months, I can't remember the timeline, maybe 6 to 7 months later, my dad remarried. So Mother's Day was very confusing for me because on one hand, I wanted to be sad because I lost my mom. But on another hand, like, I wanted to celebrate my stepmom, right? So my stepmom is she's amazing. She's amazing, but as a teenager, like I said, it was a bit confusing, right? You're transitioning from a season of grief. Suddenly, you are like, yay, I have a new family, right? So it's very confusing for me. My stepmom has a son from her previous marriage. So my stepbrother is 2 years younger than me. And it's very funny because I will get two common questions, the top two questions that I will get from my friends. Number one, do you like your mom? Your stepmom? Is your stepmom good to you? Is she kind to you? And I was like, yeah, I like her, you know? And the second question, I really don't understand this question. Like, a lot of my friends ask me this question. It's like, would you ever fall in love with your stepbrother? I'm like, I do not understand that question. I'm like, you're watching too much Netflix. It's too much drama, you know, like the family drama. And I was like, no. Anyway, I love my stepbrother. You know, he's just 2 years younger than me. He's now married, happily married, you know. But I do love both of my moms. Even though my mom has passed away, I feel like whatever she has deposited in me, the love, you know, she has made me the person I am today, you know, for 17 years. And subsequently, you know, having a new stepmom, I love my stepmom as well. In fact, I love talking to women. I love empowering them. I remember in March, we took a mission trip to India. And I remember there were the churches that we went, I would say 80% of the congregation were women. You know, the women would come early, they were eager. And for people to come early in India is a huge thing, right? You know, those who are familiar with India culture. But when we had pastors' conference in the city, it's a combined pastors' conference, the pastors' conference would be consist of 90% men. So I'm like, I don't understand why most churches, they had a lot of women, but when it comes to a pastor's conference, it'll be a 90% men. And I said, Pastor Rajan, like, this numbers doesn't make sense. Maybe in that culture, you know, the women needs to be empowered and to be believed in. So after that conversation, we decided to speak to the women after every church service, after every revival meeting. We would gather the women and we would talk to them. We were like, inspire them. And man, there was such a difference, right? They felt seen, they felt believed in. And it's like, wow, suddenly like they had a little bit of hope and the ability to dream again. All right, so I love women. I love empowering women. Just now, Pastor Boy spoke about Proverbs 31 about the virtuous women. But that's the easier way to say the noble women. Okay, so the noble women. And I love that whole chapter because it speaks of women that are clothed with dignity and strength, wisdom, and being faithful. And there's this line about the women preparing food on the table and taking care of the household, which is great if you love doing that. But that's not the complete picture, right? We are made for so much more than just taking care of the household, because God has deposited a dream and a vision and a purpose in all of us. Now, I know this is a woman's, Mother's Day, but I believe this message is applicable to men as well. So men, do not check out, you know, like open your heart and just listen. Because it's Mother's Day, I'll be addressing women more. Okay, amen? Okay, so I want to draw the courage of two women from the Bible. Now, for the sake of time, I won't read the whole chapter, but we all know the story of Esther, right? To cut the story short, the king married a girl named Esther. She was an orphan, and she was a Jew, which was kept a secret because at that point of time, they were in a foreign land. So the Jews were in a foreign land. And then Esther had an uncle named Mordecai. He's a godly man. He's an upright and just man. And he would not bow down to anyone except but God. So the king had a right-hand man who is not a very good man. His name is Haman. And he's a very egoistic man, and he got offended because Mordecai would not bow down to him. So Haman, being a psycho, decided to kill off all the Jews just because of one offense. So Mordecai was like helpless and in despair. He went out to Queen Esther and he said, I need you to intervene. I need you to stand in the gap for your people. Now, at that point of time, Queen Esther, she was obviously very scared because in the book of Esther, it says that there was a law where no man, no woman can ever approach the king unless the king summons her or him. And at that point of time, Queen Esther has not been summoned for 30 days. So if that day, if she decides to approach the king and he's having like a bad day, she may die. And I'm sure Queen Esther was scared. But Mordecai said this line to her, which we're going to show it on the projector. I want you to look at the last line. Yet who knows whether you were born for such a time as this? You know, out of the entire timeline in this universe, out of the thousands of years, God chose you to be born in this specific time, in a specific location, in a specific family, for such a time as this, for a higher purpose that is beyond yourself. Like Queen Esther, she was born at such a time as that time to save entire nation. Right? So, you know, cut the story short, Esther, you know, I'm sure she mustered up the courage. Even though she was afraid, she was like, I can choose to do nothing and I will die. But I want to do something. I want to intervene. I can potentially die, but I will try to do something. I will not stay back while my people perish. I will not do nothing when the system is corrupt, when there's injustice in this land. I will just not stand and watch and not do anything. And hence, I think Queen Esther had all the courage to stand in the gap of her people. So we know the story again, like it was a happy ending. Queen Esther approached the king and Haman, the psycho, got his punishment and was punished and the Jews were safe. A very happy ending. Now you may ask yourself, but Queen Esther was a queen. You know, she's someone very influential. She's the queen. She had the whole nation, a community to pray for her, to rally behind her. She had a spiritual mentor, which was her uncle, to tell her what to do. But how about me? I'm just a mom, a wife. You know, I don't have a job, or maybe you're in a job, but I don't have any influence. And a lot of times, we don't realize that we have everything that God has given us to do what we are meant to do. We underestimate ourselves. I love the story of, you know, the boy that came to Jesus with two fishes and five loaves, right? It's really not much. And some of us, we go to God, we're like, God, I have very little to offer, but He is a good God. He will take your two loaves, your two fishes and five loaves and make it into something amazing. But when the time comes, it is our job to show up with the two fishes and five loaves. Do not miss an opportunity when you hear God calling you. Amen? Now, I want to draw from another story, which maybe some of you have never even heard of this woman's name, but I love her. She is one of my heroes. Now, she is found in the book of Judges, chapter 4, verse 17. Can we have that now? However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Next. And Joel went out to meet Sisera. So for a bit of context, Sisera is the Batman. Okay, so he was a king, he was a leader of Canaan, which was the enemy of Israel, right? So Sisera is the Batman. So he said, and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Next. Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened up a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg. This is a bit gruesome, yeah, a bit like 18 violence, right? took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand, went softly to him, drove the peg into his temple, and it went into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. Next verse. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man you shall seek." And when he went into tent, there lay Sisera dead with the pack in his temple. So to give you context, Barak was leading the army of the Israel, and he was pursuing the enemies, which is the Canaan. So basically, Barak was very victorious in killing all the army, but Sisera, the leader of the Canaan army, managed to escape. So he fled, and he went to find refuge in this tent of Jael. Now, we don't have a lot of information about who this woman of Jael is. It's not really written in the Bible. Was she influential? We all know that Jael was the wife of Heber, right? And there's no information on Heber too. So I don't think he was a king. I don't think he was that influential, because the Bible would have said so. So I can only assume they're like kind of a normal people, normal family. But Jael, she saw the enemy of God within her reach. And she probably had a very short moment to process a lot of things. You know, a lot of times when we feel like we want to do the call of God, we have a lot of questions and debate and like going back and forth, you know, like analyzing whether we could do it. But Jael had a very short time frame to decide what to do. Now, and I believe that God uses everything, our past, our experience, our knowledge, because what did Jael do? She served him milk instead of water. Why milk? Because milk makes people sleepy. So, she has that knowledge as a woman, as a housewife. And I could imagine all the thoughts in her head, because she was about to break the law at that time. Her people and Sisera's people, they had a peace treaty. So by she killing this man, she was going to break a law. She was going to break a peace treaty. She did not have time to consult her husband. She did not have time to call her friends and ask for prayer or like ask a pastor what to do. She saw the enemy of God, and she was like, "God, I only have this opportunity. It's now or never. I will never have this opportunity again. If it's not me, then who will?" And I believe courage rose in her heart. This woman rose in her heart. She used whatever she had, which was milk, a tent peg, and a hammer, and she just drove it to his head. I don't think she went to the gym. I don't think she was that strong. But I believe because of her courage, the Spirit of the Lord fell on her and enabled her to give her strength. And she was able to kill the enemy of God. And these two women, you know, they changed the history of a nation because of their act of courage. And I believe that these two women, they're not like, oh, like no fear, oh, like super brave. I believe they could do whatever they could do because of their love for God and the love for their people. Now, why am I sharing this today? Because I know there are a lot of mothers here that have sacrificed a lot because of their love for their children and for their family. I just like, I'm constantly inspired when I hear mothers and fathers obviously sacrifice their sleep because of a crying, whiny baby who's hungry at night, you know. And I've met women who would stay in abusive relationship just to protect her kids. That is the power of love. Can we have the worship team? Yeah. Because love compels us to do something. Love gives us the courage to protect something, to protect someone. And some of you, I feel like it's been a very tiring journey. I know maybe some of you have family who's so far away from God, and you have never stopped praying. You've never stopped quoting verses to your child because you want your child to come back. You've never stopped reaching out to your child, even though maybe your child hates you, because of love. I remember my late mom, she would wake up every day at 3 a.m. just to pray for her family. And that is because of love. I really want to honor every single one of you, whether you're a mom or a dad. But you have chose to fight the good fight because of love. And I want to say, don't give up. Don't give up. And I want to pray for you that you will always have the courage to do what you need to do. Because of you, a family can be saved. Because of you, a life can be saved. An entire generation's destiny can be changed because of you. An entire destiny of a society and a nation can be changed because of you. Because you said yes. Because you said yes, I don't have all the facts, but I will be courageous in this moment to stand up for what is right. When there's justice, injustice in this land, I will confront the broken system. I will confront the spirit of intimidation. Because deep down inside of you, you love your family, you love this nation, you love God. And let us rise and just sing this song.
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock, and now I know. And I love, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the Jesus, lover, Jesus, lover of my soul. Taken me from the mire. You set my feet upon.
You set my feet upon the rock.
I love you. friend, and I will worship you until the very end.
I just feel that there are some people here who needs courage to forgive their parents, whether it's their dad or mom. I know some of you have experienced deep pain by your parents. And I just want to pray for fresh courage to love again, to forgive, to believe in your parents again. I also feel like there are people here who just feel so lonely. And it's really hard to be courageous when you're alone. But you are not. You have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when I go, I'm giving you someone more precious. And this Holy Spirit is within you. He's with you. And He will never leave you. And you have a wider family here to give you that courage, to hold your hand. So you are not alone. So Jesus, I thank you for all these beautiful people here, beautiful mothers. We don't forget the fathers. We love them. God, I pray, Lord, that even as they go home, God, you will infuse fresh courage in them, oh God. Love for our people, love for the nation. And God, I pray that even as they go through the week, I pray, Lord, that they'll start dreaming big. That nothing is impossible for you, God. When they dream, you dream as well. And you care for their dreams, oh God. And God, I pray for restoration over families, oh God. I know you love families, oh God. You turn the hearts of a father to the child and a child to the father, oh God. Restore the Holy Spirit. Just go into their families and homes, oh God. And give your restoration, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Oh, church, thank you for celebrating Mother's Day with us. Go and celebrate your mom. Tell them how much you love her. Take them out for dinner. Buy them roses. Get their flowers right. I love you, church. Bye.